Welcome to Legal News and Review, recipient of the Florida Bar Award of Excellence. Legal News and Review, the only real problem solver radio program using the law. With your moderator, Philip Bell, and hosts and legal panel attorney, Gary Singer, chair of the Broward County Bar Association's Real Property Section. Gary Singer is board certified in real estate law and a syndicated columnist from the Sun Sentinel. He is an expert in his field of practice. Now, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
On the docket for today's broadcast, FINRA, Financial Industry Regulation Authority. It's incorporated. It's a self-regulatory organization that makes sure the nation's 3,700 broker-dealers, and get this, over 631,000 brokers, comply with security laws and regulations to ensure that investors are protected and treated fairly. FINRA maintains a reserve of $1.6 billion and employs upward to 3,000 people, some of which receive exorbitant salaries, in the high six figures, if not higher. Is FINRA a government agency addressing rollback of regulations for FINRA? And also now Dodd-Frank is news commentator and newsmaker investment advisor Frank Congemi. Some of our listeners may remember him as the man that blew the whistle on Robert Milken and his junk bonds. But first, I'd like to let the audience know that Gary Singer and Gary Ostro will be back next week, and we're hoping Mike Santucci will be back next week, if not soon. Also, I'd like to welcome our listeners on 96.9 FM, 103.9 FM, and 740 AM, along with iHeart, TuneIn, and iRadio Now app listeners. Good afternoon, and to remind our listeners that they can actually watch the production live on Thursdays, most Thursdays, not today though, at 5:30 p.m. Just Google Legal News and Review Facebook. We come right up. Today we're being recorded live at the Kelly Ustahl Building in their mock courtroom. Kelly Ustahl Law Firm is committed to helping you seek justice. Just go to justiceforall.com. That's justiceforall.com. You know, attorneys all over the country refer cases to Kelly Ustahl, and it's because of their resources, but more importantly, their successes. And then your fight becomes their fight. If you've been severely injured because of someone else's negligence, go to justiceforall.com. Frank Congemi, welcome to Legal News and Review.
Greetings and salutations of the day.
I'm telling you, you know, it's interesting. You're always on the news. I watch Fox Business. I watch CNN. And across the board, I'm flipping the channel, and I see you. And come along, I see you, and I think it was August 21st, 2017. You were speaking with Rick Amato from Fox Business News, and you made a following prediction. What was that prediction?
Okay, I have to back up and correct you on a couple of things.
Okay.
Okay, so it was Michael Milken, the junk bond king.
Right.
The billionaire. That's the guy I was the whistleblower for.
That's the guy, and I did
and
mention
Rick,
his name.
Rick Amato is actually on Roke TV in California, but he was referencing the Fox News report where I called the market.
Ah. Well, it's amazing.
I do. You know, I do TV all over the country.
I know you do. I know you do. You're again, you're always in motion. You're always thinking.
I'm laughing. If anybody could see this, I'm laughing because I think it's funny.
You know, Frank, you've been not a fan of FINRA. And I thought FINRA was a government agency. They seemed to me on paper to be a monopoly.
Au contraire. I have some very good long-standing relationships at FINRA that go way back.
Uh-huh.
And we have sort of an agreement about what I say and what I do when I talk about FINRA. So
right.
All I could say is I love FINRA, and I think they're very expedient. I think that it being a membership company, and you cited the numbers, I'm mm-hmm. sorry, a membership organization, you cited
right.
the numbers.
631,000
It
brokers.
Would be fair to say that less than 10% of that number was driving the fiduciary rule and the fiduciary standard. So 90% of the financial advisors didn't even agree with that rule. And FINRA was instrumental from the standpoint that they believed in a dual standard, in that I am not a fiduciary every time I do a transaction.
Right.
Sometimes I'm just doing a transaction. So to hold me to a standard that's impossible, where you don't hold doctors or attorneys or other professionals, hold me to that standard, it's not only it's unfair, but it's unconstitutional, and the Fifth District Court agreed with me, and that's why they shut it down.
But FINRA protects itself from lawsuits from members and claiming, get this, that as an SRO, it's absolutely have immunity from private lawsuits challenging the conduct of its regulatory mission.
Well, I think there are instances where you can sue FINRA, and I think if you're going to be a regulator and you're going to be an arbitrator of, like, I could just tell you in full disclosure, I've had a few times where customers have lied and they filed complaints, and I found the FINRA process extremely fair, extremely transparent, and extremely rewarding in that they looked at all the facts and they found in my favor. So the idea is this, no system is going to be perfect, certainly not this one.
Well, I mean, FINRA has certain programs I absolutely endorse, and it has to do about the rules, FINRA rules, relating to financial exploitation of seniors. What is this? What, is this something with real teeth now?
Well, I think what happens is it's like the law of the jungle. People, when they get older, are weak. They lose their cognizance. The people around them are less and less. Quite frankly, a lot of times when I see my clients get older, the only people that are around are their attorneys, their financial advisors, and maybe one or two friends or neighbors. So it's a sad thing that at this particular point in their life, they might fall prey to somebody's unscrupulous. I mean, I'm on the record with saying that, you know, you want to talk about three strikes and you're out. I would say that if you're guilty of ripping somebody off at this age, I think you would have one or two choices, you know, make the client whole or have your license revoked. Because, you know, everybody has that decision when they cross over the line, whether or not they're going to do that.
You know, before we continue, you did mention Michael Milken.
Yes.
And I found this a fascinating story. And you were a young broker at the time.
Yes, I was.
Why don't you tell our audience a story on that? I'd like to get documented.
Oh, my. Well, I had money from the church to invest, and the portfolio manager of one of the funds was a good Catholic boy, and so I asked him some advice, and I never met a portfolio manager who would turn away money, but he told me not to invest the money in his fund. So I struck me as being odd, and I did something else with the money, but I didn't. I just started to ask some questions. And I had some friends that worked at the New York State Attorney General's office, and they found a few other things, and we put a couple of things together. What I did not know is that the SEC had an ongoing case, and so when I blew their case wide open, they weren't too happy with me. But it's rough as a whistleblower because, again,
it is.
Yeah, doing the right thing. I mean, my kids were eating cereal twice a day for several months.
Wow.
But I did get to meet the president of American Express, who sent me a platinum card unsolicited.
Right.
And to this day, I think he's the greatest, longest CEO when he retired.
But how much money were we talking about?
Clients got back about $400 million.
$400 million, yeah. And this is 1988 dollars, correct?
Yeah, 87, 88.
87,
yeah.
88.
Yeah, everything didn't unwind until 89.
Right.
It was rough getting a job, though.
I could imagine, because who wants to hire a whistleblower? I mean, you always looked out for your clients' best interest.
Well, that's why since that occurred, I never worked for a firm ever since then. I work for myself. I'm independent.
You know, Dodd-Frank rollback poised to, it's going to remove some handcuffs from small lenders. I mean, credit unions and other small financial institutions keep the U.S. economy humming. More than 110 Americans are members of credit unions. But in 2009, there was 2,000 credit unions and 1,500 community banks, and they are now have closed. That's unconscionable. Again, it's the backbone of the financial industry is what? Small business.
A lot of the stuff was premeditated. It was an ongoing policy by the previous administration to pick winners and losers in an industry. And who did it wind up hurting? Minorities with payday loans and cash checking places and stuff like that. So this will expand community savings banks and credit unions. As a matter of fact, when I think it was Goldman Sachs who pulled out of an event for credit unions and credit lenders, that's how I wound up writing the check that they didn't write, and that's how I met Occupy Wall Street and all those terrorists. And
oh, yeah, I remember seeing those pictures. Here you are in a suit and everyone else is in jeans.
Yeah, it's a legendary. Yeah, it is.
That absolutely is. But it's interesting you say where minorities were targeted, you know, African-Americans, Latin Americans, you know, within that area. You have a program that you started or are part of, which is called Black
Money
Matters.
Yeah. I'm the only white person. Everybody else is black. I'm the minority. It's basically an educational organization.
Right.
My minority clients do very well. The reason is when you take education and you put that together with equity, you wind up with equality.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to make people equal unless they have money. And all this BS that goes on with FINRA, because FINRA should have a baseline education for people.
Right.
We should also get rid of the contributions that come from a lot of these financial companies that are crap and they don't create any value in people's lives. Teaching people how to make comparisons, read a Morningstar research paper, which I pay thousands of dollars for, but my clients get for free just so they know, not that I tell them they're in a good investment, but they can look at 8,000 investments homogenized down to 30 or 40 and know that they are in a good investment. And that's key.
Now, the Federal Reserve raised interest rates first time in many years. Now it's about 2%.
No big deal.
And
2.5% they raised today.
And the market really didn't, you know.
Tough a little bit.
But didn't really go to pot. But I'm interested to know, does this meeting with Donald Trump and the head of North Korea mean anything to the market?
Well, let's do markets 101. So when things are getting bad, they lower rates. When things are getting better, they raise rates. Okay, now that's over.
Okay.
So what does North Korea really mean? You're probably going to get 3 Trump golf courses, maybe a couple of Trump towers. No, I'm just kidding.
Right.
So
well, he showed him on a tablet.
He's
what Korea, the vision for Korea could have been.
He's whispering trillions in his ear. Anyway, the idea is this. They don't have hydroelectric plants, think GE. They don't have airplanes, think Boeing.
But they got beachfront property.
The real estate on either side of the DMZ in the last month has gone up over 300%. Warehouses, 250,000 square feet and up. Is going to be huge transport, huge commerce on that border. What do you think is going to mean for us? McDonald's. Dennis Rodman is going to be the first ambassador to North Korea in charge of entertainment and NBA franchises.
An NBA franchise.
It's going to be absolutely fantastic. It's going to be huge.
Except the majority of North Koreans are 5'4" because of malnourishment. But
I don't even want to comment on that. I had a great joke, but I won't do it.
Okay, please don't. Please don't.
It's the Pygmy League. No, just kidding.
You know, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Legal News and Review. I'm with Frank Kongjemi. Those who watch the news may recognize him in the name as well. And he's absolutely one of my good friends, sincerely.
Thank you very much, Philip.
And we're going to be right back.
Do you need an attorney? Call someone you can trust. The Broward County Bar Association, a not-for-profit organization, was founded in 1925 to foster courtesy, ethics, and professionalism, as well as to provide necessary legal services throughout South Florida. The Broward County Bar Association, 3,000 members strong, has attorney members that work throughout the entire state of Florida, as well as nationally and internationally. Remember, the Broward County Bar Association is a referral you can count on. Call the Broward County Bar Association at 954-764-8310 for all your legal needs. A referral you can count on. 954-764-8310. Or contact online at browardbar.org. Non-lawyer spokesperson.
Welcome back to Legal News and Review. Recipient of the Award of Excellence from the Florida Bar. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go online to belegalbuzz.com. Once again, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
Oh, yeah, we are back, Legal News and Review. And I'm here with Frank Kongjemi. And Frank is not only a newsmaker, a news commentator, but also an investment advisor. And we're talking about Financial Industry Regulation Authority and even Dodd-Frank, the changes that are there. But, Frank, I mean, regarding the rules and regulations, they're there for a purpose. We need those in the financial industry to make sure people are doing the right thing, you know? So what gets me is that then the Labor Department gets in there and says, well, you know, we want to govern all the brokers. What's the Labor Department doing with security dealers?
Well, I would say they get their direction from ERISA. And my contention was that they could say whatever they want about plans
right.
and investors when they're in a company plan. But all the investments that are in the plan are outside of their jurisdiction under the SEC. So if you want to say it was misguided, well, you know, it was not undone by executive order as it was implemented, but it was undone by the court, which
right.
means that it becomes a law now, which
right.
is better than what it was before. So let's just say that, you know, earlier I said that some clients had lied and filed complaints. It's very easy to do that in this industry. And the advisor, regardless of what license he holds, or what you want to call him, is at a distinct disadvantage. So FINRA does offer a process and is an arbitrator of those rules and opinions and complaints. Mm-hmm. And they do a good job as far as that. I'm looking at some of the notes that you gave me from FINRA members. And I wouldn't want any of my money or my dues rebated to me because crime is a growth industry.
Oh, white collar
crime,
you bet.
Getting worse and worse. We just had a VP of enforcement out to speak about cybersecurity. There are a hell of a lot more people getting ripped off by cybersecurity than there are by financial advisors. That doesn't mean you shouldn't oversee financial advisors. But as I said earlier, if you did a better job with products, you could have all the worst products in the world and
right.
get no advice and everybody would have a bad result. Or you could have the best products in the world and everybody would have a good result. So the answer isn't, you know, let's bang the advisors on the head. Let's get better products so that people have better outcomes.
But it seems to me that regulations swing back and forth, depending, of course, on the administration.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you go overboard on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
But a host of broker-dealers, matter of fact, Jim Webb from Cape Securities, says mm-hmm. that he's frustrated that FINRA acts like a government agency.
I know Jim Webb. He's a great guy.
But he says that they don't have to follow laws that govern public agencies. For example, it is not subject to laws that would allow the public to attend its meetings, nor is it subject to the Freedom of Information Act, which allows anyone to request information about any matter from the federal agency. I mean, FINRA does protect itself from lawsuits, again, stating that it's an SRO that's has absolute immunity from private lawsuits.
Well, again, Jim is an advocate, and I know Jim. Mm-hmm. The idea is this. You can't have, I mean, if it's blatant violation of the law, yes, FINRA should be challenged, and there are avenues for that. But to make them subject to, let's say, the same rules and regulations or the same processes that I'm subject to,
mm-hmm.
it'd be open season on the regulator. Then you could wind up saying that, you know, everything the regulator says can be challenged, and we wind up with total, how should I say, chaos, because everybody's appealing everything all the time. Somebody's
right.
got to have some jurisdiction and some authority.
Well, I mean, they have enormous power over the lives of brokers, broker-dealers. I mean, last year alone, it issued more than 1,400 disciplinary actions.
Probably 99% of them were warranted.
And and more than 500 brokers are now banned from the industry.
Good. Take them out and shoot them.
But people know in the industry very little about how FINRA really operates, how it spends the millions it collects in membership fees mm-hmm. and of course, even in fines. And how it sets its regulatory agenda. FINRA writes its own rules, meets behind closed doors, and releases information if and when it deems necessary. Again, it's too powerful of an agency not to be regulated, not to be a government agency.
Well, I'm sure if Gary Singer was here, he'd probably disagree with you also. But the idea is this. You know, they
yeah.
have a job to do. And
you would.
When you have people who, I mean, first of all, whether it's government, which you see at the highest levels of the FBI, or financial advisors and broker-dealers, people don't always come to you and say, hey, I'm committing multiple felonies.
No, they don't.
You know, here, let me show you what I'm doing.
Right,
that's
right.
not how it is. So you have to employ a lot of technology. And between the SEC and FINRA, you know, we intersect with probably 9 different agencies, IRS, FinCEN, FBI, anti-money laundering. I mean, we do like so many different things now.
Right.
FINRA monitors all of that. So,
but FINRA is a watchdog that no one is watching.
Look, I had a personal relationship with Rick Ketchum.
Okay.
He just retired. Sure. His office was open. I mean, they
explain to the audience who he is.
Rick Ketchum is the former CEO, director of FINRA, who just retired last year. And, of course, Mr. Cook came in and took his place. I haven't had the pleasure of meeting him yet. But the head of membership, who's a good friend of mine, we've had a very long relationship now, about maybe, I don't know, I would say 16, 17 years. And they're always wanting to know what financial advisors are thinking. However, broker-dealer companies don't want FINRA to talk to financial advisors one-on-one. So I guess I enjoy a special relationship because I get to talk to regulators.
Right.
And they really, you know, understand your business. Well, they just don't understand why people are out there robbing the public.
You have a stellar reputation, and you manage large amounts of money. So, you know, you're somebody to be taken seriously. Where somebody like me or even Mike Lubitz, the engineer, we call up, they'll say, send us an email.
Well, I mean, if your listeners want to, you know, indulge me, go to the Department of Labor's website and look at the filings when it was open comment pre-Fifth District ruling on Dodd-Frank. And read my filings. And then read the Fifth District ruling and see how similar my filings 2 years before the ruling came out are.
And how did you actually predict where the stock market would be? I mean, this is boldly. You went out there and said, this is where it's going to be. No ifs, ands, or buts.
I was all in.
Yeah.
Basically, working with a lot of these, like it was never publicized, and I didn't want it publicized, but I arranged for all the bodies after Pulse nightclub shooting to be flown home on JetBlue for free.
Very good.
I knew a lot of these LGBTQIA groups,
okay.
And I also know a lot of anarchists, and I knew from what I saw going inside the Democratic Party, I had to be on the other side of what I saw, what I knew.
Wow, that's powerful.
Yeah.
But you knew the market was going to be 1,000 points higher?
Yeah, it was pretty correct in the range and the
timing,
wasn't it?
You were absolutely, you were dead on.
A little freaky.
You were absolutely dead on.
Yeah.
Frank, if somebody feels that they've been getting ripped off or taken advantage of, I know my mother had an incident.
All right, here comes the FINRA commercial. So FINRA maintains a elder abuse hotline.
Right.
They also have an investor abuse hotline if you felt you got ripped off. Or even if you want to send FINRA your statements and want to review what you have experienced with your financial advisor, there will be a FINRA examiner that will do that for you. So, you know, when people say to me, FINRA has too much money, FINRA does a lot of things. And one of the things I wish FINRA would do would require CEs for financial advisors to teach what they know for free through Catholic Charities or B'nai B'rith or the public library. Teach baseline education so people know what to look for, how to compare, how to look at suitability, how to look at a track record, you know, how to use Yahoo Finance for crying out loud, and look at the history of something before they buy it.
Well, Frank, you're very serious. When you take on a project, you move it to completion. And I remember when we used to record at JB's on the Beach, and you sponsored the Deerfield Beach tennis volleyball.
Yes.
And
you can still find that online.
It was a $10,000 prize. It was international as well. And you did that for the community, and that's a beautiful thing. And black money does matter. All money matters, but black money does matter, and I like that aspect. Is that going to have a website soon?
I have all the technology for that.
Okay.
And so I'm waiting until I can get up to New York, and I can I have people in Louisiana, in North Carolina, in Florida, in New York.
Right.
And again, these are all people I know. All people have a relationship with me who know me, who know that I'm not some kind of like wacko white guy that's just grabbing this name and is going to make money. We're not selling
You're not selling anything.
We're giving away knowledge that costs thousands of dollars. And here's the business model. Ready?
Yeah.
If you feel that you learned something or you think we can make a difference in your life because what we taught you, we will separate you from the abuses of Wall Street and give you a company that's been around for 85 years who's averaged over 12% a year.
Wow.
So, of course, now regulators will go absolutely nuts. But again, all the regulators that know me know exactly what I'm talking about.
Right.
You know, and if anybody wants to get crazy, I'm at 954-428-4995. Get crazy, whatever you want.
Oh, boy. I'd like to know what kind of calls you get as well. Frank, you're great. And, you know, we've known each other for several years now. And you used to be on Channel 11 with, what was the gentleman's name? Not Channel 11, Public Broadcasting.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's Ed Slott. 80 million people have seen our television show on PBS. We don't do for profit there either. And we just finished a new show, which is called Retire Safe and Secure. Ed is a great coach. He is the retirement expert. And after the last 16 years of study, I'm considered a master elite retirement planning expert.
It's all out there if you just Google your name. You know, Frank, I wish we always had more time. I enjoyed speaking with you. And the only thing that was missing was a beer.
Yeah. Well, if you have a retirement question, you can go to www.irahelp.com, Ed Slott's website. That's free, too.
Well, you know, you've been listening to Legal News and Review, and we're going to be back next week with an exciting attorney. And again, be careful out there. It's drive time. Don't be texting. And remember,
be legal.
You've been listening to the award-winning Legal News and Review, recognized by the Florida Bar's Award of Excellence. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go to BeLegalBuzz.com. And to reach Gary Singer, board-certified real estate and syndicated columnist, appearing in 400 media outlets, including the front page of the Money Section every Monday in the Sun Sentinel, from the law firm of Gary M. Singer, PA, call 954-851-1448 for legal news and review. Remember, be legal.
Do you need an attorney? Call someone you can trust. The Broward County Bar Association, a not-for-profit organization, was founded in 1925 to foster courtesy, ethics, and professionalism, as well as to provide necessary legal services throughout South Florida. The Broward County Bar Association, 3,000 members strong, has attorney members that work throughout the entire state of Florida, as well as nationally and internationally. Remember, the Broward County Bar Association is a referral you can count on. Call the Broward County Bar Association at 954-764-8310 for all your legal needs. A referral you can count on. 954-764-8310 or contact online at browardbar.org. Non-lawyer spokesperson.